Good morning. I'm Krista Cook, and it's time for Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux, the organizing coach. Good morning, Colette.
Good morning, Krista.
Today, we are going to chat about dinner parties. Very exciting. You can have a dinner party anytime.
That's right, and don't wait for a special occasion. It's great to get some people together and have a bite to eat, and we always, you know, nurture ourselves and our friends nicely over a little food and a little drink.
Sounds perfect. So, let's start with the very basics of a dinner party. How far in advance should you start planning?
Well, you could start planning anytime. You know, we always say the more you plan ahead, the more, you know, you're going to sort of take away from some of those problem areas. So, but honestly, the more formal it is, the more you probably have to plan. The less formal, you can have some friends over last minute and you don't have to worry about it.
And I guess I think that's an important point to emphasize. I personally am quite intimidated by people who hold dinner parties because I don't. And it's I suppose, more for don't have the room, blah, blah, blah. But it can be a very intimidating thing if you don't feel that you have the experience in having a dinner party.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's one thing to have etiquette, but then there's just the general know-how.
Yeah, I have a friend who told me recently that years ago when she was first married, she ended up actually going to emergency because she was having a panic attack and she wasn't sure if she was having a heart attack or not because she was having one of her first dinner parties. So I think that
awful.
Just shows us how much pressure can be. But the one point I want to take away today with the planning the dinner party is that if you are having fun and you are relaxed, it does not matter what happens. Your friends will have fun and be relaxed as well. So, you know, that's the point we have to get to. We don't have to be gourmet cooks. We don't have to be experienced event planners, but we want to, you know, we just want to have some fun with our friends and have people over, but it can be very intimidating. So, you know, what are you afraid of, Krista, when you think about having a dinner party? Some people do it often and some people don't do it at all.
I guess for me, my immediate thought is the foods that I enjoy and cook are probably considered rather simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a gourmet cook by any means. Mm-hmm. And I think there's not a greater dinner than it could be, you know, a roast beef dinner or a turkey dinner.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, those types of things. But even in there's a television show that's currently out there about dinner parties. And it seems that dinner parties, number one rule is to pick the fanciest meal. It's just, half of those people don't even know what the heck they're eating or cooking.
And honestly, one of my rules of having a dinner party is to pick a meal that you know how to make. Never cook anything that you have not cooked before. This is not a good way to go. You want to know how it's going to turn out. If you make a mean macaroni and cheese or pot roast or whatever it is, make it. People will like it because you do it well and, again, you're comfortable. But don't go gourmet if you're not gourmet. It's just not worth it. If that's something you enjoy, go for that. But most of us, you know, are not gourmets. We're just not. And most people don't have taste buds that are gourmet and want to eat that way all the time as well. So, you know, we eat every day. We eat, you know, three meals a day at least. So we're eating regularly. Just to have someone in for the company and have a nice meal is fine because we remember experience. We remember relationships. We are delighted at the opportunity to get together with friends in a comfortable environment. And if we have a good meal, that's great. But you know what? It is the focal point, but it's not always the only thing going on. As, you know, and most of our friends that we are having over, if it's not for business purposes or sort of that expansion on a bigger party, are people that know us. And I don't know about you, Krista, but most of my friends know that I'm not a gourmet cook, that I have my things I make.
True.
And you know what I mean?
Right.
So they know that I really garnish a good plate, but I might not be a gourmet cook. I can make it look good. I can plate it up. And for me, you know, I can set the table and make it look pretty, but the food's not my side of it. But that's okay. They know they're not going to starve either.
You know, I think it's probably almost putting too much pressure on ourselves, somehow feeling that we're not going to, be successful. Yeah. Isn't that odd?
But that's the sort of pressure we put on ourselves a lot, because it's not just the food with the dinner party, too. It's like, how will the house look? Is it, you know, good enough? Is it clean enough? Is, you know, oh, I've got, I don't have silverware, I have flatware, or I don't have matching, I don't have six matching wine glasses, or I don't have this or that.
There's all of it right there. You've just listed all the reasons.
But, you know, all of that is great if it happens. But again, getting back to your friends, you can just say, hey, I want to have you over. This will not be on the cover of, you know, Entertaining Today, or I won't be gourmet. I'm not trying a new recipe. This is what I'm having. Would you like to come? And if anyone's turning their nose up to that, if that's your style, great. If there are the gourmets in the crowd and that's what it is and you want to experiment and have more fun, that's great too. But again, and have it in your own comfort level. And if you don't have matching things, borrow. Most of us today have extra dishes and things, and people are inheriting things and have the good china they don't use. And it's like, hey, I need 8 place settings, or I need 8 wine glasses that match, or 8 plates. Do you have that? And, you know, a lot of us would be more than generous to donate it or bring that along as well. So don't use that as a deterrent.
Okay,
think of creative ways to sort of work around that.
Now, with the house, let's face it, a lot of people, their home is their kingdom. And my home is not dirty, it's incredibly lived in.
Mm-hmm.
But that viewpoint to others who may live sort of like a minimalist kind of lifestyle, mm-hmm, could be overwhelmed coming into my home that's lived in and not necessarily,
sure,
clutter-free. So I think it's just you do put more pressure on yourself in terms, mm-hmm, of, oh my gosh, it's not to their standards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know who you're inviting a lot of the times. And, you know, you can just say, hey, this is my home. We live a very comfortable lifestyle. And again, being comfortable with yourself and not putting it, if it's that much pressure, don't do it. But again, most of the time, being comfortable with ourselves in this age, we're trying to be very authentic. This is who I am. This is how I live. And again, you want to make it hospitable for them. There's lots of extra things you can do. And honestly, from my perspective, when people say, well, how can I, you know, work on that organizing project or get something done? Often to have a dinner party and think of it even in your mind a couple months out, whether it's a housewarming, a birthday party, an anniversary party, whatever it is, that gives you a really nice motivation or impetus to work on those projects around the house. So it sort of helps leverage you to get some of that other stuff done. So how nice is that if it's something we've been putting off? And in the end, there's a nice reason to sort of celebrate as well.
Oh, yes. It's definitely a fringe benefit. No question.
For sure. For sure.
Okay. So I'm going to have a dinner party, and my dinner party is going to be, you know, a nice home-cooked meal. Should I give them 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? How much notice should I really give them?
Well, a lot of times if it's friends, we know what their schedule is like. You know, I have some friends that their schedules are very tightly booked ahead of time because they travel a lot and they know what's going on. And I have other friends that I might say, it's 3:00 in the afternoon, I'm going to have extra food tonight, can you come for 5:30 and bring the kids? But bring toys with, you know, as,
yeah,
well.
Totally.
So know who you're asking. If they're friends with a busier schedule because of travel or whatever, ask a little further ahead, because when they say no, or if they're going to say no, then you can, you know, ask other people if you want to bring it together as well, or you have some idea of that. So, you know, judge by the people, and don't be afraid if, you know, to ask a week out with family and things like that. If they can make it, they can make it. People look forward to the opportunity. But, you know, today we have busy lifestyles. Mm-hmm. If it's not just the, you know, the parents that have lots of stuff, the kids have lots of activities as well. So just, you know, plan ahead with that, ask ahead, and, you know, be conscious of holidays. You don't want to be having a dinner party on Mother's Day and leaving your mother out.
Yeah. I don't think you'd get many brownie points for that.
I don't think so.
Is there any guidelines with catering a dinner party or having it catered?
Not at all. If that's the way you want to go, the only you know, guideline is maybe have a budget in mind and, you know, think about, you know, who you want to use as a caterer and that sort of thing. I would suggest going with someone that maybe a friend has used or ask around and, you know, by reputation what that looks like. It can be pricey, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. The other thing you could do with that is supplement what you can make yourself. So maybe you just want to buy, you know, a specialty meat dish that this company does. It could be even, you know, an ethnic sort of food, and then you complement it by doing the veggies and doing some other things and doing the appetizers, or the opposite. Can you do some appetizer trays for me, something interesting, and I'm going to focus on the main meal. So think how it's not all or nothing. The beauty with a caterer as well is that maybe you could get the extra staff to help you out. You know, you could have the staff member serving and you could ask them to take the coats at the door if it's a larger party or things like that. Or you could just purchase the food and not have them come in, anything from that, or having the chef there. So there's lots of varieties on what you can do with that. Budget is an issue.
Do numbers matter in terms of catering?
Well, they matter in that the price gets more expensive. The catering companies do hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, for events all the time. So for them to come to your home, they can, you know, cater a stand-up event for 50 people, or you can have it in the backyard in a tent, or you have, you know, people that will come in your home and do a dinner party for six. So, and if you wanted someone to serve that meal as well, the caterer could come in and you could pay for that person to serve. And it really takes the pressure off of you and makes for a nice meal, an intimate gathering. So there's really a lot of variations on how you can make the caterer work.
And that would be truly so much more stress-free. I mean, you're in the moment then. You're with your guests and you're able to enjoy it without thinking, oh my gosh, you got to get out there and get on to the next thing.
Yeah, it is a way to sort of help that out, but you can fake it as well. You know, you can you can have the caterer bring you the food and use it. You can get some things from grocery stores today, have wonderful foods, you know, that you can pick for the takeaway, the quick section, the deli section. Just repackage it, plate it up nicely. You know, you may get like those veg crudités in the plastic trays or the fruit trays or the shrimp rings. Replate them and some other things. You replate them, you might add some extra ingredients to them and, you know, sort of spice them up and snazz them up, and things can go really well for you.
Now, I suppose if you're catering, and I understand that it doesn't matter the amount of people, but I guess it depends on what you're accomplishing with that dinner party. Is it a bunch of friends coming over to eat a pot of chili, or is it a business function, which of course would be much more formal? If you're having a crowd, isn't it everyone's favorite to have a potluck?
Yeah, you know,
I love them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really like potluck. I have met some people that don't enjoy it so much, but it sure makes it easier because a lot of that stuff is prepared ahead of time. You want to think then about how that's going to work and, you know, is it food that people can stand up with and seating. So you can definitely do more people in your home because you're not sitting them at one table, but you're probably sitting them throughout the house and possibly outdoors. So you want to look at what your seating looks like, borrow extra chairs. But you also, in that food selection, want to think about what that's going to be like. You don't want, you know, a soup that's going to splash around. You could do a little chili or, you know, some things like that. But you want things that are easier for people to carry, easier to eat, maybe as some finger food too, like some appetizer sort of things that they can pick up. But things that are easier. You don't want them, you know, getting and sitting on a stool and they have their bread and how do I, you know, their roll to go with this and how do I butter
it?
And,
you know, folding in half.
Yeah, and cutting. Cutting is a big thing. If you're just sitting in a chair and eating, you can't use your knife, you know, to cut something well. So yeah. If it is a dish, maybe it's a dish of, you know, sort of the beef is cut up in a gravy and it's over a rice, so it's easy to eat in one mouthful. So those dishes that tend to be like that.
Okay.
You know, spaghetti's not a good option.
No, definitely not. What about the bring your own
bottle?
Well, that's BYOB.
Yeah, that's always debatable as well. But, you know, we're all coming at this the same way as, you know, can you ask friends last minute to come over? You know, is it a big deal to bring your own? We're all at different places in our life. I think, you know, that's a decision for you to make. I don't think it's an oddity. Most of the time what happens is people say, would you like me to bring something? And that's where you could say, oh, if you'd like to bring a bottle of wine, that would be great. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, from that side, that's the way to go, a bit easier. But if you want to say, you know, bring your own beverage, I'm providing this, I'm providing non-alcoholic drinks, I'm providing beer and wine if you want anything else, or, you know, just be explicit so people know what they can expect.
Dining etiquette. We will continue right after this.